So as I mentioned, the hero of faith from Hebrews that we're going to have a look at today is Joseph. So, first of all, what do we collectively know about Joseph? Hands up, call out. This is... He was a drummer. I heard you. I'm messing with you. Yes, he was a dreamer. Okay. What else? Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Yeah, I gave you a clue with that one. Yeah, had a robe of many colours. Who made that for him? His father. Excellent. What else do we know? Favourite son of Jacob, hence the coat. That's also, you've also implied there. There were other siblings. So what did he have? Bunch of sisters? Brothers, excellent. And they all got on fantastically the entire time, right? As all brothers do. They hated him. And yeah, they hated him. He was spoiled, quite possibly. And he was beaten up by them. And they were going to leave him for dead, but actually decided, tell you what, let's make some money. And they sold him into slavery. And he got taken away, and where did he end up? Egypt. Which, kind of, when you look at it on Google Maps, it's not really that far from kind of Israel, the Middle East kind of area. It's just kind of round the corner. I mean, you could probably kind of fly it in, I don't know, 40 minutes. Quick as getting back to England from here. Of course, when you're perhaps being dragged along behind a bunch of camels, or whatever it was that his new owners were riding, that was probably a pretty long way from home. But of course, that wasn't the end for Joseph, was it? What happened while he was in Egypt? Worked for a guy called Potiphar, yeah. That went quite well for a while, didn't it? Seemed to be going quite well. Then there was an awkward moment with Potiphar's wife. She liked Joseph. Joseph was like, no thanks. Being the guy, a good guy that he was. But of course, Potiphar's wife didn't take too kindly to that, put Potiphar in an awkward position. So Joseph loses his job and it all kind of, yeah, going wrong. He's in prison. So ended up kind of not quite back where he started, because I don't think he got beaten up this time. But again, kind of, you know, enslaved in prison. And then that's where we pick up the bit that Kenneth mentioned about him being a dreamer. And he interprets dreams and basically kind of, through doing that, gets himself out of prison and gets himself a place in Pharaoh's court and explains his dreams. And then what happens? A family? Yeah. Oh, sorry, a famine. Sorry, famine, yes. Famine across the nation, all very bad. Joseph's family not doing very well. No food. And so where do they turn to? The next door neighbours. And they think, we can go to Egypt. And they go over there. And, of course, at this stage, years have passed. He's grown. He probably looks a little bit different. And, of course, his brothers aren't expecting to see him in Egypt. But of course, Joseph recognizes them. And them having beaten him up, sold him as a slave, pretended he was dead. What did he do to his brothers? Tested them. Now, how many of you would have kind of gone along with that and felt the same way and gone, tell you what, I'll just kind of, you know, let's see kind of what's going on. Let's see, let's kind of, you know, where is this relationship now at? But ultimately what happens is He forgives what they've done. He feeds them. He restores that. And then we get to the bit we're actually going to look at today, which in Hebrews 22 is, by faith, when his end was near, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Now, a lot of the time, perhaps, if you've heard the story of Joseph, and hopefully some of those details we were talking about were familiar, it kind of ends a bit earlier, and this bit never gets talked about. But when the writer of Hebrews is talking about examples of faith, he doesn't focus in on any other part of Joseph's life. He focuses in on this bit, which, again, we don't read a lot about. But it is there. So, as it says, when his end was near, he spoke about the Exodus. And we find that in Genesis. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph knew that the Israelites weren't always going to be in Egypt. They weren't always going to be slaves there. They were going to get their freedom. There was going to be an exodus from that place. But he also knew he wasn't going to be alive to see that. But after he'd passed, we see later on in Exodus, so obviously when the Exodus is taking place, that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. So this journey is continuing. Although he has passed, his bones have been taken. And finally, a long time later, in Joshua, we see that Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. So although Joseph knew he wouldn't see the promised land, he trusted in that hope, that promise that God had made to his ancestors. It wasn't even a promise that had been made directly to him. But he trusted. He had faith that God would fulfill that promise. And we can see that God did. But what does this actually mean for us? How does this impact us today? Because it's clearly a different time. We're not a people trapped in another nation looking for our own land. Well, you might be unsurprised to hear that just before Hebrews chapter 11, it's Hebrews chapter 10. And what we see in Hebrews chapter 10 is the setup for all of these examples that we've been looking at over the summer. The reason why all these examples of faith are given. And there are three encouraging instructions in chapter 10, verses 22 to 25. I'm going to have a quick look at those now. There, let us come close. Let us hold on tight, and let us think about others. So in Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So the first is, let us come close. We're called to enter God's presence, having acknowledged and accepted Christ's sacrifice for us. God wants to encourage us to actually be with him. In the Old Testament, there was the royal priesthood and sacrifices and all of the things, the different parts of the tabernacle and the temple that kept people away from God's presence. It was a very sacred and holy thing that one person could go into on very rare occasions. But after Jesus' death, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. Those barriers were broken, which means that we can enter God's presence at any time, anywhere. There doesn't have to be any of that, I suppose, procedure. There aren't the rules that allow us to enter God's presence. He's everywhere all of the time. So whenever we're having challenges to our faith, we don't have to think, oh, right, and on Sunday, I'll take my sacrifice to church, and then perhaps God will hear me and will do something and help me. Instead, we get to just do that wherever we are, whenever we are. And in the course of preparing this talk, I mean, that's the thing. Doing these things, I always find far more challenging. It's the, it really is that opportunity of God holds up a mirror and gets me to look in. And it's like, although part of the purpose here is to help you learn and grow and to this to be a community endeavor, I often find I get prodded in some very personal ways by God. And with this, just that, that challenge for me personally, and maybe for others, to really recognize that as the privilege that it truly is, that at any point we can go into God's presence. I think that's huge. The next verse in Hebrews 10 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on tight. We're called to not be uncertain in our hope, but to tell others about it and where it comes from. Let us hold on tight. And of course, that's hard sometimes. When, let's just say, life happens, there's a lot of things that can test our faith. There are a lot of things that can make us question, where is God in this? But the challenge here is to not be uncertain. It might be hard. But actually, the act of using our faith, sharing it, can help us hold on. When you're giving something, when you're actually, using it, it can help build that confidence in yourself. Because you're like, actually, yeah, I do believe this. I find this myself when I'm, let's be honest, doubting my own ability. And there were times this week when I did, especially when it came to preparing and giving this talk. They were like, what am I doing? Why have I signed up for this? What was I thinking? There might be some of you out there now thinking exactly the same thing. thank you. But that's exactly the kind of encouragement. And my wife started this for me, and then I was like, actually, yeah, I need to do this. I can do this for myself. And remind myself of why I'm doing this, and that actually God has given me opportunities to learn and grow and gain experience so that I can do this. I can do this. And in the same way with our faith, as we share, it can help clarify in our own minds about what we believe and be a helpful reminder of, yeah, actually, Jesus has promised me a close personal relationship. And that's something amazing. And actually, that's something that everybody can have. And that's something, yeah, I want to tell people about. And yeah, that's brilliant. And actually, there is a hope that even in all of this pain and suffering and the heartache that we see in the world, there will be a time when none of that exists. And that's for eternity. And all the things we feel now, and I'm not downplaying how hard they are, but they will pale away when we're in heaven face to face with God. And then the final one, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the third point there is, let us think about others. We're called to give some serious thought to how we can help other Christians and provoke them to love and to serve. And I put the provoke in inverted commas because I think sometimes it's a word that can create certain ideas in our minds, perhaps certain negative things. If you're provoking someone to hit you when you're winding your brother up, hypothetically. But what this really means is it's more than encourage, and that's why I didn't use that word, because a part of it is about encouraging each other, but a part of it is also about creating a level of challenge and encouraging people maybe just to kind of step a little bit outside of their comfort zone in terms of how they're going to love and how they're going to serve in their church family. And that Christian perseverance is a community activity. So we need to be a part of a Christian community like ICL. Because then we can grow and develop relationships where there's a chance to provoke one another, to encourage in a challenging way. So perhaps you're talking about a situation at work or at school where maybe someone else in your class or a colleague is just being really difficult and making your life really hard. We can get alongside one another and actually perhaps help us see that it's not necessarily about you. That actually maybe there's something else going on in their life that's causing them to behave that way. That actually you're not really the problem. Something else is. And actually by perhaps, yeah, not getting angry, not getting annoyed and frustrated, actually, yeah, doing something else. An act of kindness, an act of love, whether it's just asking them how they are, whether it's actually just, yeah, getting them something, buying them a coffee, or whatever the kid equivalent is. I mean, I'm guessing it's not a good idea for, guessing all the parents aren't wanting me to encourage kids to buy each other coffee. That's not the point. But the idea of actually finding those ways of loving one another and finding a different way of demonstrating Christ's love. So our hero of faith, Joseph, the points Let us come close, let us hold on tight, and let us think about others. Being in God's presence, being certain in our faith and sharing it, and helping each other to love and serve in community. So what I'd like us to do, everybody stand up, please. And can everybody see the screens? Excellent. So what are the three challenges to each of us in this passage? Let us come close. Your turn, out loud. Let us come close. Let us hold on tight. Let us think about others. That was a good warm-up, good practice. Going to do it a couple more times. Okay. 3 points. Number one, let us come close. Number two, number three. Ah, oh, this is great. There's a growing well of enthusiasm. One more time. Let us come close. Let us hold on tight. Let us think about others. Thank you. Please take a seat. Faith keeps going through hope in God. And when we find it fading, we need to remind ourselves of the promises God has kept. Like this promise to Joseph. And of course, although Joseph didn't see it completed, because we have the Bible, we can see that that promise was kept. And that's not the only example of God keeping promises, but it's the one we're focusing on today. We can remind ourselves of the fact that God is good and does keep his promises. We will have eternal life through the death and resurrection of Christ and our acceptance of that. It's absolutely definite, completely certain, because of what we can see, the evidence we've been given of how God keeps his promises.